Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions.
Everybody, welcome to the URN Radio Network show. I'm the Paranormal Outlaw, and with me is Jeff. What's going on, buddy?
Hell yeah. How's it going?
I'm doing all right. No, actually, this is Matt from from Full Spectrum Radio. I am taking place of Kevin for the evening due to the fact that he has had surgery. Had to have emergency surgery and have his appendix removed. So I definitely want to say heart goes out to him, and hopefully he's sitting there and really in pain for our amusement.
I can't wait to hear about the anal probe that I instructed him to do.
I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah, I called up and I told him that he needed to have a colonoscopy.
Oh, yeah, just to be sure from the other end that they got everything out.
There you go. What's the harm, right? As long as the car is in the shop, you know.
Yeah. But doesn't hurt to be thorough.
Exactly. So, Outlaw, when you listen to this, we do these things for your own health.
I know Kevin's going to go back and listen to the archive of this, so we really got to take the stabs while we can.
Exactly.
So, throughout the show, there is going to be some stabbing, Kevin. If you thought you're in pain after surgery, your pride is going to be worse off than your actual physical being is.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. We love you, brother.
Absolutely. I hope he's in a lot of anal pain right now.
You're specific. I was just saying pain in general.
No, because he's a pain in my ass, so he needs to have a pain in his ass.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Oh, I concur.
There you go. I'm looking at the soundboard here, and I'm seeing something I've never seen before. It says, mandatory sponsor, play each night. We have a sponsor?
Yes, I guess we'll get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Chris Malcon has, what was he on, Fridays?
I guess so.
I can't remember what night he was on, but that is his contribution to help all of us out, so if you want to go ahead and play that.
All right, here we go.
Going to New Orleans for the weekend, for vacation? Are you wanting to take a ghost hunting tour but tired of the same old walking tours where you don't even get to go into the location and you're not even sure if the history is accurate? Well, call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. This team of guys are going to take you into a real haunted location where you're going to get to use the state-of-the-art equipment that ghost hunters use. Be the paranormal investigator. You get to work with an experienced, competent team of investigators and have the real, true paranormal experience. Experience the dark side of New Orleans. call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. They have tours Friday through Monday. Tours start at 7 and at 10 p.m. For more information, call 504-708-3567.
Well, all right.
I had not heard that one before.
Yeah, that is one place that I would love to go. I've been to Louisiana, but I've never been to New Orleans.
I've only been to New Orleans once, and it was about 6 years ago. I went down there to see Ace Frehley from Kiss at the House of Blues. And it was great, but the problem was my trip back, in which I had a wreck. So that part wasn't fun. But New Orleans itself was awesome.
Just Google image it and look at the history, the places down there, the buildings, the structures, mm-hmm. everything. It looks like a gorgeous city. Like I said, I've been to Louisiana, but never been to New Orleans.
Yeah, that's awesome. Look, when I went there, it was about 2.5 years after Katrina that hit there. And they still had not yet put up all the street signs. And I didn't have GPS, so I was basically just guessing as to where I was supposed to turn, you know, when driving around downtown. That kind of sucked, but the rest of it was cool.
You know, thinking about it, too, as far as you bring up GPS as gadgets and how tech reliable we are now, that it's like if you leave your phone at home and you're just going across the street to the convenience store or something like that,
yep,
people lose their minds now.
Oh, I do. I know I do. I wish it didn't, but, you know, that's, you're 100% correct.
I was walking around Baxter's Grove and like all day today, with my dear friends, Ursula Bielski and Michael Esposito.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing, a couple experiments and my phone rang. And it actually annoyed me. Like, no, I don't want to be bothered right now with somebody calling me. It just happened to be Dennis who was calling me. So that might have been partially why I was annoyed. Aha, Dennis isn't on air right now, so. No, but it was one of those things that I'm like, I wish I didn't have my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Or I turned it off or something.
Yeah, that's why whenever I'm in a situation where I don't want to talk to anybody, I'll just turn the phone off. And that doesn't happen often, but it will.
I got to remember that my phone has a power button.
Or a volume button. You could turn the volume down to where the ringer's on silent.
Yeah. But you know what, I did get, and that's one thing I have to say about phones and technology and all that stuff. I got some great, great photos at Bachelor's Grove.
Cool.
A lot of people go into, they'll go into the cemetery, but they don't go to the surrounding woods, like the Robbio Woods and the Bachelor's Grove Woods.
Right.
If you look at my Facebook page, at CPR Matt, I have some photos that you can tell this is recent, but there's the underpass that goes under the road with the big concrete walls and all that stuff for the, they call it a river, but it's a creek.
Right.
If I stepped in it, it would have been ankle high. I did step in it on accident, and it was ankle high. But yeah, I mean, there's swastikas, there's KKK stuff. The funniest thing about all of it, though, like, I have, looking at the, if you're walking into the underpass, on the left side wall, there's an image of two KKK bombers carved into the concrete, or painted on the concrete, whatever you want to call it. And there's swastikas, and it's like SWF or something like that. And look at, and then right past that, it's red. There's red spray paint that's swastikas and all this other, you know, white power kind of crap.
Right.
Then if you turn and look at the other wall, there is a stick figure family like you see on the stupid-ass ones like you see on the back of minivans.
Uh-huh.
Like two parents and two kids.
Right.
Why in the hell there neo-Nazi crap on the left-hand wall and on the right-hand wall? It looks like the back of a minivan.
Neo-Nazi family? Maybe? I don't know.
The kids were painting in white, so I don't know if there's any correlation with white power and, hey, look over here. Yeah, it's bad. Oh, yeah, stick figure family. There wasn't a dog, though. I was looking for one with a dog, but...
Right.
But no, I mean, and these... It makes you think of it, the area of the people that are in there and what kind of energy imprint that they're going to leave on that area.
Right.
Maybe the stick figure family was a balance for the nasty crap on the left hand side. I don't know.
There you go.
But yeah, no, it was. I went through the woods where the legend of the disappearing houses. I walked into the woods for a half hour. So half hour in, half hour out. So I you got to the point where there was nothing around you. I think it's something like 8.4 square miles is what the Bachelor's Grove Woods is. So if you look at where the cemetery is in relation, it's honestly in an overhead view from road to road in the woods and everything. The cemetery is only about the size of like a map dot. There's so much more area that people just, they don't go into. I was walking through game trails. I can't even tell you the vast emptiness of the feeling of that area. But it was really damn cool.
Cool. Sounds like it.
So, anyway, how was your weekend?
Very restful. Very restful. School is out now, so I'm officially on vacation for a while. So that's nice. I don't have to worry about...
I didn't know
about
you were still in school.
Oh, no, I'm a teacher.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You know what? I remember from when I lived there that things moved a little bit slower in the South. I just didn't know education was that far behind.
Well, most of the schools in this state started like a week earlier than mine did. Therefore, they got out the last week of May. Of course, ours started when they did, and we got out in friggin' June.
You know what? I never asked you this before. I know you're a teacher, but what do you teach?
Theater and speech.
Yeah, and do you do the radio shows?
Oh, I do this one.
It is theatrical, and yes, I guess there are a lot of words, so it's quite fitting.
Well, one thing I learned how to do years ago is learn how to separate the different aspects of my personality. So when I'm teaching, there's teaching Jeff, and then there's regular Jeff that's, you know, just at home chilling or hanging out with his friends or whatever. And then there's radio show Jeff. And then there's the version of Jeff that calls for me to just bust on the Outlaw's nuts every now and then.
I think that's your crossover into the three personalities, Jeff, then.
Yes, it is.
Because I can't figure a time when you're not going to bust the Paranormal Outlaw's nuts.
No, absolutely not. And, of course, you know, we met each other because of theater. So when we do shows together, we're busting on each other. We've also done some education projects together. And we had to refrain from the busting on each other then because there were, like, 10-year-old kids there. And then we got into the paranormal right about the same time, and it just continued.
Yes, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin at some point throughout the show doesn't call in.
If he does, he's going to be high as a damn kite because he's on some kind of painkiller or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I asked him earlier. I sent him a text earlier asking if the nurses had given him a shocker yet. And he said, yes, that kind of shocker, too. You know what's going to be funny as hell is next Sunday, he's going to come on the show, and he's going to tell, he said, you son of a bitch, the nurses did all these things to me. I know it's because you told them to.
Well, you know what? I'm shocked about this. I didn't even think about it, but I should have messed with him having a medical background. And told them all this stuff. Well, you better have this done then. If they're doing that, you better make sure that they do this.
Oh,
and have them ask all these stupid questions.
Oh, damn. That would have been funny. Shit. Yeah, you could have done that and then contacted me, and I'd have got hold of his dad and had a video camera there to video him asking all these questions. Or at least record him. Damn it. Next time.
Yeah, next time he goes into the hospital for surgery.
That'd be funny as hell.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to remember. Sounds bad, but to remember to mess with him on his health.
You disappoint me, Matt. You dropped the ball on that one.
I did.
But the joke I always make is that I never bust on Kevin, and he always busts on me, and I just take it. Therefore, I look like the nice guy.
I have noticed that, especially doing the shows. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin definitely takes the stabs, and you just kind of, yeah.
Usually when he does that, I don't respond. It's because I'm damn near asleep. Because I usually get up at about 5:30 in the morning. So my normal bedtime is around 9 o'clock, which puts it halfway during the show. So about 9 o'clock or 9:30, I would tend to start dozing off. And that's when he starts taking these damn shots at me, knowing I'm damn near asleep, and I'm going to either say nothing or I'm just going to say something stupid.
So basically what you're saying is he's not entertaining enough to keep you awake.
No, it's just my body shuts down. I'm not my 20s anymore. When I was like about 10 years ago, I could have done this show, then done another show, and then not gone to bed until like 2 or 3 a.m., get up at 6 and go to work, be all, you know, fired up through the day. Whew, after I turned 30, the body said, stop it. You can't do that anymore. So I had to get responsible and come up with a regular bedtime.
No, you don't.
Well, if I want to get up and let the dog out and eat breakfast and stuff before I go to work, I do.
Well, I've been irresponsible for years now. Some days I'll fall asleep at 10. Some days I'll fall asleep at never.
Right. Well, I think it's a case of insomnia every now and then.
You know, how... All right, I'm trying to see if I'm the only... I know I'm not the only one, but if you experience this too. If you do an investigation, do you go the full night or do you cut it out or cut off at a certain time?
I go until the team stops.
So if it's a dusk to dawn, you're there the whole time, like no...
Yep.
No worries, no issues?
No, no issues.
Yeah. I've worked with people in the past who are going to remain nameless, but I work with people to where they just go until they get extremely tired.
Mm-hmm.
And they will not only leave, but they won't close anything up. They'll just be like, yeah, you know what, we're tired, let's call it a night. Throw the crap back in the car and not even put it away properly and take off.
Oh, no, 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 no. You can't do that.
And I've seen the homeowners and family members and stuff like, okay, so, yeah, we'll be in touch in like a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, you can't do that. That's very unprofessional. And that's pretty bad if I'm going to say that.
Yes. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to come to your house. I'm going to stir shit up.
Right.
And then you deal with it.
And then just leave.
Yeah. So I got what I wanted. I'm tired. I want to go to bed. So you deal with your home that you called because there's crazy stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
We just stirred the pot. The whirlpool is still going, but
yeah,
that's not a problem.
I can't even think of a time when anybody that I've worked with has done anything close to that. I mean, the closest... I can come to seeing anything like that is when we'd investigated a house in Gainesville, Texas, called Hill House Manor. And, of course, this was an all-night, you know, overnight kind of deal. And a couple of the members, you know, laid down and took a nap. But there was a room set aside for that. And so it didn't disrupt anything.
You know, that creates an interesting idea. Was that room monitored, or was that one just left alone?
What, their nap room? It was actually right there it was in the same room that the home base was in.
Yeah, it makes me think of fifth grade, but yes, I guess we are kind of childish doing this stuff, but seems fitting.
I go into the location, I'm too excited.
You're in a strange place. It's like, yeah, okay, you fly to England, it's your first time there. Well, the time difference is going to put you way off your sleep schedule.
Yep.
But you don't care because everything's just so cool. And let's be honest, in paranormal investigating, it's pretty damn boring at a lot of times.
Well now, I will admit that I did go to sleep when we reached a location once. It was a couple years ago. We went to Old South Pittsburgh Hospital in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. And the only reason I went to sleep once we got there is because I didn't get a Well, I slept in the van on the way, but it was crappy sleep. So the sleep was not very good. So as soon as we got everything set up, I just went, hell with this. I'm going to lay down. It wasn't, I mean, I was excited, but at the same time, the body just said, enough. You got to stop now.
Oh, yeah.
Which, now, to relate this to the importance of the paranormal, at least in my personal belief, is that being rested up is very important. Because if you are exhausted, both physically and mentally, if there's something negative there, you have just left yourself wide open to that thing. So I slept just not just because I wanted to, but because I knew I needed to. I wasn't going to take that chance.
Yeah, I've done ones that I've been coming clean on this one. About in the learning curve of when I started doing investigations, this wasn't a private residence. It was just a public place that, you know, when you first start out, you just go to wherever, be like, oh yeah, it's so cool, and checking it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was about 3:30 in the morning when we were at this place, and I ended up falling asleep in the middle of an EVP session. Like, hey, I'm gonna go into this room by myself, and you hear me talking. Well, I know you like to do this, that, and the other thing. Hey, you know, I'll do it with you. Why don't we do this together? Why don't you come out? And then it was lights out after that. And then you just hear on the recorder is for the next half hour. They just passed out me snoring on the recorder for the next half hour. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, being rested also saves embarrassment as well.
Right.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Oh, Lord.
All right, everybody. Just to let you know, if she does call in, we have Kirsten A. Thorne, who is part of the Paranormal Housewives, is going to be the guest. But looking at the Facebook, neither Jeff nor I were friends with her and tried to send her a message talking about it. I don't know if Kevin had talked to her about, hey, yeah, the show's still going on, or I'm having surgery, so who knows. But that's supposed to be the plan. But for the time being, you got Jeff and I. It could be 2 hours of Jeff and I.
It could be six
Deep
hours.
Thoughts. Yeah. Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy. So yeah, but that's supposed to be the plan. I tried to shoot her a message, but Facebook said no.
I shot her a message, but it probably went right to her junk file.
And for Kristen A. Thorne, I do apologize for the friend request from Jeff and I that have no mutual friends together.
Yes, you probably got those and just went, the hell is this all about?
I know. What's with these paranormal people? Why are they contacting me?
Right.
I should have probably sent a message along with the friend request. But yeah, I didn't do that one. Kristen A. Thorne, I apologize for Jeff and I. But hey, you want to talk? Cool. We're here. Just don't flag us and report us so our accounts are all screwed up for 14 days.
Oh, man, apparently, wait a minute, what is today, the 8th? Today's the 8th. Sometime today, asteroid 2014 HQ 124 will whiz past Earth on a close approach.
You know what? I know that one.
I wonder if I can see it tonight.
No, I didn't pay attention to that. Sorry, I'm looking through. I popped on Facebook to see if Kirsten or Kristen accepted our friend request. No, not yet.
What? 140,000-year-old UFO discovered in the Baltic Sea. Is this real?
Wouldn't that be a UFO? No,
that,
I mean, UFO community, there's the submerged vehicles also. So wouldn't that be a USO being discovered if it was in the Baltic Sea?
Yeah.
So that would make me question the article in the first place, because the terminology right off the bat is completely incorrect.
Exactly. Of course, I'll read one of their headlines here. This is from ParanormalNews.com. This is actually a headline. This is actually their second on their headline. It says, "Belief for the sake of belief is fucking dangerous." That's a headline.
Very professional.
Apparently.
Any of the papers that I wrote when I was in college, that's how I started them out. I mean, I passed with flying colors. No, if I would have wrote that, I would have fucking failed instantly.
Now, this has nothing to do with the paranormal. I'm sure everybody else knows about this, but I just recently discovered it. There's actually a website you can go to where you can listen to, like, police and radio scanners from all over the country. So just for fun, it was a couple of weeks ago, I decided to get on this website. And I wanted to hear the county where I live in. And, of course, there's only like 8 people live in this county. So needless to say, that one scanner was dead. There was nothing going on. So I decided I want to listen to the fire department scanner for the FDNY. Lord, that thing would not stop.
Oh, yeah.
And I anticipated that, but once I hearing it, it's just like one thing after another. And oh, my God. And this was like at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't imagine what it sounds like right now.
I was looking through my other phone that I have, which is normally the one that I use that doesn't annoy people when I'm on the show. But I had there's an app that you can download. It's a scanner app.
Yeah, I've heard about those.
You can download anywhere throughout. Or anywhere in the country is where you can plug into this thing. And the reason I did it is we have a firehouse right down the street from work. And I swear, just being in the suburbs, that is the most damn active firehouse ever. So for fun, if Lola's sitting around, we'll pop on the scanner and see what's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did. Los Angeles area. I did New York, and I did Miami at something like 2 in the morning, whatever. And yeah, it is crazy. So
same.
That's picking up all transmissions for that area, though. Like when I used to work ambulance, it wasn't that bad.
Right.
But it would section off, like basically triangulate who was the closest person to that, and then that's the house that would get the call.
Well, see, a few months ago, the school I work at, we had a lockdown. There was a guy that was a threat that they thought could be coming to our school. Well, anyways, you know, we didn't know how long we were going to be in there, and I didn't know what in the hell was going on. So a couple of the kids that were in my class had that app on their phone and pulled it out and started listening. And that's how I found out what was happening.
Yeah, if you just type in police scanner and just download the top one and go to wherever you want, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So it's because you can choose what area, and then it does. It's police, fire, and medic is what it'll run through. And when you think, you know, you got sitting around in the summertime, you're sitting on the front porch, back deck, inside, but you got the windows open, you don't hear anything going on. Oh no, there's a shit ton going on.
Right. Hey, you hear about this? This is like this last weekend. Actually, up to today was the Texas Republican convention. This is the headline, and I'm looking at the Huffington Post, which of course is known for its humor. But this is actually a legit headline. This has been on CNN as well as several other news outlets. Now, this is a political thing. You know, we generally don't get political, but this is just so stupid that I can't ignore it. It says, Texas GOP platform, Texas GOP platform draft endorses gay conversion therapy.
Wait, what?
Yes, you heard that right. The Texas Republicans are endorsing gay conversion therapy.
Well, that presents the question, is it to convert gay people to straight or straight people to gay?
Gay to straight is what they're looking at.
That just doesn't even make any sense.
Thank you, and I live in this state, unfortunately.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I completely condone homosexuality. I think I have no problems with it.
I never have
a bunch of gay friends. What did crack me up though is at work on Saturday. For people who don't know, I sell motorcycles for a living. So I'm it's getting close to the end of the day. This couple comes in, this female couple. And the one Asian girl, and I think the other one was Polish or something like that. Well, the Asian was completely big, bald, very, very sweet women. But the other one that had the sides of her head shaved and then her whole top of her head was like her hair was stuck up straight pretty much everywhere. I don't know how long it takes her to do that in the morning because literally the length of her hair defies gravity and physics. But
right.
She had a tattoo on her right bicep of her girlfriend, her wife or whatever, basically from the waist up topless, wrapped in a snake.
Well, all right.
Where... I don't care if it was a guy. I don't care if it is a woman and it was her husband. Like, tattoo your significant other's naked portrait on yourself.
I wouldn't think so, but, you know, I'm no expert when it comes to societal norms. So.
And they... I mean, I was looking at them like, how, and I'm thinking about this image, and I'm thinking about how is that other person, I'm not secluding them anymore. I'm just saying in general, if anybody else has done this or knows somebody who has this, how is that other person that it is their image nude okay with you walking around with that exposed for everybody to see?
That's messed up.
The tattoo was horrible. It wasn't like it was well done.
That's even worse.
Yeah, it's like, what's the age of what you teach?
I teach high school.
Okay. Well, if you taught elementary, that would be about the level of the quality of this tattoo.
Oh, my God.
It's seriously, like, I mean, hell, she should have, she would be proud to have a high school art student have done the tattoo, because it would have been way better. It wasn't even the quality of a prison tattoo. I've seen some of those that are better.
Oh, my, that's so sad.
It is. I seriously, I was at the point where I'm like, I don't want to say anything because her clothed, actual living human is right here that is represented. I didn't want to knock it, but at the same time, I'm like, if you're going to represent the person that you love and the person that you care about, have it done. And if she's cool with having half of a human naked version of you, or of her walking around with exposed to everybody else, at least make sure that it's good.
Right?
Because then when you're standing next to her and they're like, oh, wow, that looks like her. Oh, my God, that's a terrible representation of her. No. You don't want to be represented terrible. And you also, I don't know anybody who says, you know what, I want to look terrible naked. That sounds like a good idea.
Outlaw says that to himself every day he wakes up. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Honey, I love you so much. Can you get a horrible representation of me naked permanently on you? Oh, yeah. Love you.
Oh, God.
Anyway, that was my since I don't usually like to swear on air, I just call them the WTF moment of the week.
Right. That's yeah. That's
so,
just messed up.
Since it looks like it's just going to be us, let's dive into something here.
All right, what do you want to dive into?
Well, we were talking about on Wednesday night show, I think it turned out to be a great, great conversation. But I'd like to know your thoughts on it as well.
All right.
As far as audio and audio review, do you think that equipment is, I'll take out the guesswork out of it. Basically, we're talking about like noise-canceling headphones and all that kind of stuff. Do you think the equipment that's used in analysis or even used in capture has a huge impact on what you get?
Yes, because, and this is something I just thought about this the other day. I've heard a lot of people talk about how they prefer analog tapes over digital. Here's the problem with analog. It doesn't always, when you record over something, it doesn't always erase the previous stuff. And so occasionally something will melt through or will come through there or will bleed through or whatever you want to call it. With digital, it erases it completely from what I've experienced. Now, as far as the review goes, just for me personally, I like to just get someplace quiet by myself, and that way there's no distractions. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I understand that, but what we're talking about is the actual equipment that's used when you're doing the review. You know, you buy, like, if you purchase and spend a whole bunch of money on active noise-canceling headphones, well, that's eliminating exactly the element of what you're looking into. That's eliminating the white noise. It's eliminating all the background noise.
I purchased, I use actually the same headphones I used when I record music, which, I mean, it's a good set of headphones. Yeah, I think it would make a difference, you know? If it's like the old crappy, like, 1980s Walkman headphones, you're not hearing nothing.
Or you might hear more.
Well, yeah, possibly. But the headphones I use, they cover up my entire ear, so I don't hear anything or outside of the headphones. Or if I do, it's not very much.
But are they active noise canceling or are they noise canceling?
I don't know. It's whatever. I bought them at Guitar Center, so it was like $50 pair of headphones.
Yeah, because the ones that I use mainly are clips, and they're a $400 pair of headphones. Mm-hmm. I got them for I think $1.80. That was my first Quibid for KLISCH, and they've been in audio for a very long time at a very, very well-respected German audio company.
Mm-hmm.
And I love these headphones.
Right.
The over-the-ear, but the external, and this is what I looked at before I bought them, the external part that covers your ear has... That's the noise-canceling portion. The speaker isn't noise-canceling.
Right.
An active noise-canceling headphone or speaker or anything like that has filters built in it that monitor the levels.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to cut these things open, they almost have like a memory foam on the outside, which just cancels out all external noise, so you can... You hear what you're listening to better.
Right.
But, yeah, I made sure that they didn't have any of those properties to mess with the audio, what's coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I'm doing review, and it doesn't matter EVP or video or whatever, those are my primaries, but I also use, as a secondary, I'll use the earbuds that I'm on right now that came with my phone. So if I think I hear something, I'll mark it, I'll write it down, I'll listen to it a couple times on my headphones, and then I'll switch headphones and then pop these earbuds in and see if it makes any difference to how I'm hearing it.
Right.
I'll listen to it just through the speaker of the recorder itself.
I've actually, if I'm going to listen to material, like, you know, after we've left the place and I want to listen to it, like, right then on the road, I'll use earbuds over my headphones, because for me, it just gets a little deeper into my ear. Like, well, the ones I use do.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then it helps cancel out road noise and...
Yep, exactly.
All that other stuff. Well, it's funny you should mention that. I've been huge into audio and car audio and clarity and all that stuff for, like, just listening to music, because I love music. I've been involved in music for a long time.
Right.
But what I'll do, I have a two-door Jeep Wrangler.
Mm-hmm.
I have 10 speakers in the damn thing, and I still have the back seat in it. So, 2 amps, subs, cabin speakers, just a whole bunch of audio, and a two-door Jeep Wrangler. It's loud as hell if I want it to be. Also, my Nissan, my little sports car that I have, I have 5 speakers in that. That system, with me doing the install, was almost $7,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a lot of money on audio. When I'm leaving a place, I'll hook in my, any of my recorders if I think, hey, I may have something, I may have gotten something tonight just because of everything else that happened throughout the night. I'll listen to my audio in my car.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, I think it maxes out at 30. I'll listen to it on like 27 as I'm driving.
Right.
And it's like sitting in a damn symphony. I mean, there's so much more that you pick up, especially when you enter in the dynamic of having a surround sound system.
Right.
But, yeah, I've done a lot of times to where I'll be doing a review. I'll listen to it on my clips. I'll throw it through the earbuds. I'll listen to it on the speaker. And I go out to my car, not even with it running or anything, and turn it on and just listen to that audio clip in my car.
Right.
Just for verification.
I've done that as well. I did that once on the way home from a case. We had investigated this old, not really abandoned road, but damn near abandoned road. And as I'm listening to it, all of a sudden I heard this, at least what I thought initially was a growl. And then once, when I got home, I plugged up my earbuds and listened to it there. No, apparently I had walked right next to a wild hog and did not even realize it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. It was a growl, but it was a wild hog snort. I was like, oh, shit. I walked right by one of them things, and I didn't know it, and I'm still here. So somebody would look.
They're going to be pretty ferocious.
Yeah, and they can be pretty big, too. I'm a big guy. Those things can get bigger than me.
Yeah, it was, what was the one that I saw? It was an adult male, and this was one of the shows on Animal Planet or something like that I was watching, but and since I'm from Texas, anything I see that has to do with Texas, I usually watch.
Yeah.
I've been there. I haven't been back in 18 years. I'm a bad Texan. But, yeah, it was a grown male that they were tagging because the population in certain parts of Texas is very, very overwhelming for the rest of the ecosystem.
Yep.
They captured a male in a trap to where he couldn't move. He was, I think he was 550 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And he was only like four and a half or 5 feet long.
That sounds about right.
First off, that's a hell of a lot of bacon.
Yes, it is.
Secondly, that's just a dense animal.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what it was, too, and I was watching another thing on Monster Quest, where they were looking for the epic, 2,000-pound pig.
Oh, yeah, Hogzilla.
Yeah, they were looking for Hogzilla, and they were trying to develop a camera system, but they couldn't put it on it because it pretty much doesn't have a neck.
Right.
The only thing I'm interested in, and I've been around these animals before, not wild ones, but ones that are in captivity.
Right.
other, like, I understand they have a very, very strong bite force, but they talk about their razor-sharp tusks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyone that I've encountered doesn't have razor-sharp teeth.
Oh, the tusks are different.
That's what I mean, like razor-sharp tusks, not teeth.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I felt their tusks, and it was like, yeah, if it bit down on you, it'd do some damage, but they're talking about, like, having two steak knives on the side of their head.
I don't know about that. I know the ends are sharp.
Yeah, I personally just never encountered, maybe the ones that I encountered were filed down or what, but.
Right.
Going back to the road that you were talking about, what was the origin of why you went out there?
Let's see. It was one we had been out a couple of times, just called Stagecoach Road, out by Marshall, Texas. There was a couple of claims. One was that the goat man was out there. I saw no evidence of that. Another was that you could see the spirit of men dragging a casket down there. And there was another one that sounded like the ghost of a stagecoach of horses would come down the road every now and then. I didn't see any of that. I will say this. We did get so now the first. This was the first time I went out there. I was with one part of the group, and Kevin was with the other part. And they were well on down ahead of us. They did catch on audio some kind of growl that nobody could identify, and they heard there's audio right at that same time of something, some kind of large animal jumping down from a tree and running off.
Ah, good man.
Well, they sent the evidence to Ken Gerhardt. He said it was Bigfoot, but of course nobody saw anything. I'm gonna quote Mitch Hedberg here. I think the problem with Bigfoot is that Bigfoot really is blurry.
Oh, I love that. His name just popped out of my head.
Mitch Hedberg?
Mitch Hedberg, yes.
Yeah.
So, which doesn't bother me as much as that there's a large out-of-focus animal running through the forest.
I love it. I love it.
Well, no, the reason I asked you for the, oh, actually the large out-of-focus animal running through the forest is actually Kevin. But, hey, stab number 12. All right, we'll keep this going. The reason I asked you about the origin of that, of the road and why you guys went out there, so it was basically investigating an urban legend.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, there's one urban legend that has plagued my life ever since we did it, or ever since we started looking into it. You ever heard of Help Road, H-E-L-P?
No, I haven't heard of that.
Well, it's called different things throughout the country, but it's kind of one of those, like, if you park by train tracks, you put your car in neutral, it'll get pushed over the tracks. I'm sure you've probably heard of that one.
Yeah, I've heard
and
of that.
Then you have handprints of little kids on the back of the car because the school bus got hit. Yeah. Help Road is what I know the legend as, is there was a couple that was on their way back from prom, and there was a horrible accident, or a motorcycle this was going down the road, and there was this horrible accident in the last-ditch effort. Mm-hmm. One of the two crawled up to the road and wrote help in their own blood before they died. And then there was the, no matter if the county or whoever does the road maintenance that they pave over it, help still comes through.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of that one?
I think so.
Yeah, well, Mark, who I started CPR with, we were bored one night. There really wasn't much going on. We haven't done, hadn't done an investigation in a while. So we're sitting around and we're like, oh, what the hell? It's only, you know, 10 minutes from his house. Let's go check this place out. So we go out to the actual location for us is Cherry Road in Oswego, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the middle of two farm fields, and there's tree line and all that stuff like on the outskirts, but literally it's in the middle of a cornfield, bean field, you know, whatever the hell it may be. So we park our car and sitting there for a couple minutes and, you know, just letting everything kind of settle and taking a look around at the area and looking at overhead maps on our phone of how far the property extends, this, that, and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the end of Cherry Road is a cemetery. And the cemetery was established in, I think it was 1821, as if I remember right. But the cemetery really has nothing to do with what's been talked about. It's kind of almost like a Resurrection Mary thing where people are driving down the road and they see a figure of a woman. That a woman in white, of course, because she has to be either in white, black, or red.
Right.
They see the figure and they you know, stop to ask her if she needs help and all that. And she's out in the middle of a cornfield and it usually happens in the colder months. So she'd be freezing in her very small dress that she's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, yeah, you know, we'll park the car, reading through, making sure, you know, we got everything, all the information before we start. So we start looking into it, and like, yeah, there's really not much going on. And so, like, all right, we're going to do one more thing before we take off. We're going to stand on the gravel track on the side of the road and do an EVP session. So we're standing on the side of the road. I have my K2 meter is on the ground, actually on the pavement in the center of the road where supposedly this is where this word help pops up. Doing an EVP session right before we're starting to get ready to wrap up. There was a rock that hit me in the chest. And the reason I knew it was a rock is because standing on the gravel, after it hit me, and Mark turns to me and he goes, "Did you just throw some?" I'm like, "What the hell was that?" Looking for like grasshopper or something, you know, just something living that would make sense.
Right.
So I'm like, "All right, a grasshopper has a harder body. It could have hit me in the chest. It would have fallen, you know, right by my feet if it was flying, and I just, you know, we didn't see it, whatever. But having the harder body, it's still going to make noise when it hits the ground." But we looked around, there was no grasshoppers anywhere. There wasn't cricket sounds. There wasn't anything. And so I took, and I look about 2 feet in front of me on the asphalt, and there's a limestone rock sitting there. So I'm like, all right, did I seriously just get hit with a rock? So I picked up that exact, rock and stood back exactly where I was standing, threw it against my chest, and that was the exact sound.
Huh.
So this rock was, and just to give you people an idea of what the scale of it was, from your knuckle to the tip of your thumb and the thickness and the width, that was about the size and weight of what the rock was. So
wow.
It wasn't like a small little pebble that could have got picked up in the wind, which you don't normally hear about.
Right.
And then we started, and afterwards we went back to Mark's house and plugged it in. The audio program that we use is Adobe Audition. So you can really, really dive into a lot of the audio stuff. But going through the audio, right at that time you hear me saying, "What the hell was that?" Something just hit me in the chest. And Mark goes, "Oh, yeah, I thought you threw something or flicked a cigarette or, you know, whatever." He goes, I heard that too. There's a name that comes through. And the name that came through was Audrey. So it was like, and I'm going to try and simulate the best I can, but as listening to the audio, without any filtering, without anything else, just listening to our conversation, you hear in the background, "Audrey." Like, what in the hell was that?
Right?
So, come to find out, and I have a 167-page police report about this, there was a woman's body that was found out there. Her name is Audrey Moore, M-O-O-R-E. She was in her 20s. She was from Chicago. Her body was dumped in the irrigation well of the one of the farmers that owned the property back in the 80s. The way that they found her body was she was recovered when the farmer was irrigating his field. He had the pump system in the pond thing. And it sucked her body up to the bottom of the pump. Her arms were bound to her neck with barbed wire, and her feet were bound together, and she was beaten unmercifully.
Oh, my goodness.
So the urban legend of Broad and all that stuff turned out to be completely, completely true. Well, not that portion of it, but that area, there was a murder that happened there. And this is where the holy shit factor comes in for me. Since we started doing this, started investigating there, we went out there probably about 10 or 12 times, and everything started to get more and more and more. We get more EVPs. Then we started getting EVPs from a guy that would come out. And this is a desolate country road. This isn't... I've done enough audio and enough EVP work to where I know what's wind noise and I know what's something else.
Right.
And this is definitely, definitely something else. The strangest thing that happened out there was, we're talking if you're standing and you're looking straight, the road curves 90 degrees in the middle of the field. So not like a stop sign and, you know, right-hand turn, any of that. It's a sweeping 90-degree turn in the field. So diagonally, straight ahead of you is going to be field. To the right is going to be field. To the left of you is going to be all field with a tree line. And then you're literally in the middle of farm fields. So we were asking for something to happen, just so, you know, just that we were getting so much activity, and I don't put a lot of faith in the flashlight test, but I do put a lot of faith in the fact that I almost pissed myself laughing so hard when the flashlight turned on and then turned off as we asked it, and Mark's reaction to it. And
right.
I think he peed a little himself. So I was laughing so hard because it happened. I wasn't freaked out or weird or anything like that. I was just laughing at Mark. But As we were standing there, we walked back to the car because I just put a brand new 9-volt battery in one of our piece of equipment, and it ended up dying within the first like 3 or 4 minutes. So I'm like, all right, yeah, this thing's, this battery's junk. It was, thank you, Duracell. Yeah, it wasn't the dollar store stuff. But so I have this, so we're walking back, and Mark's looking down. He's going to reset his recorder, and what he was using instead of GoPro and all, you know, all that other stuff is he had the, well, this is when GoPro was just released, like the day before.
Right.
We had the video, and we still had them, the video glasses. Where you put the glasses on, it's got the video camera and the audio and stuff, like, right in the center. So he was looking down, and then he took the glasses off, because, and so they were facing the ground. He went to clean them with his shirt because there was something on one of the lenses. And we saw, plain as day, about, I'd say, waist height, maybe a little bit lower, a basketball-sized light originate out of nowhere in the field to our right-hand side, stretch about 150 yards to the left-hand side across the road. This is turned, it's a beam at this point, and then from where it originated, it snapped like if you were to fling a rubber band to the other field and was gone.
Huh.
It was enough to where it actually illuminated everything. To where, like, when you watch the video, well, when you watch the video from the goggles, because that was the only thing at the time that we were running, was the glasses, you see the whole area illuminate, and then we're talking like a matter of like 3 seconds this happened. It illuminates, and then it's gone, and then there's nothing, and then you hear us freaking out. Well, there was no car. There was no anything that passed by where it could have been headlights or anything like that. Like, there was literally was nothing.
Huh.
And it wasn't a will-o-wisp. It wasn't anything like that. It was just this beam that originated and then snapped to the final destination point and was gone.
That is strange.
Never experienced anything like that ever again.
Right.
So, well, what's been happening with this urban legend for years, what's your opinion on psychics?
I got my doubts, but I won't say that they're not legit.
You ever worked with one or no?
Do what?
Have you ever worked with one?
I've worked with some that claim to be, but I saw little to no evidence that they were.
All right. Well, at some point I'm going to have if you want to talk to him or get in contact with him too, have Dennis do a reading for you.
All right.
The shit he comes up with, there, and you'll know that there's no explanation for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
What happened with me as far as this Cherry Road thing goes. So we've been going out there once we find out that her name was Audrey and how she was murdered once we got the police report. Like I said, it's a 167-page police report. She was in her 20s, didn't run with the best crowd. Her boyfriend was, who is now deceased also, her boyfriend was basically a gangbanger, pretty much drug dealer kind of guy.
Right.
Had a bunch of warrants out for his arrest, this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
So we were sitting on, it was a Halloween party local, and it was Jeff and Nancy Resman, Jeff Mudgett and his daughter was there. And a bunch of us just hanging out. We're all dressed up, you know, out to dinner, and there's a band playing that night. Well, Jeff Resman takes one of we were at a sushi place, and he took the wrapper, the paper wrapper off of a pair of chopsticks,
mm-hmm.
and then took the pen or took the pencil that they give you to mark what you want to order, and he wrote down, and I still have it. He wrote down blonde, 5'4 to 5'5, early 20s, very cute, and very, very sad. And he just wrote that down, and he passed the paper over to me. And we were all, I had never talked to Jeff or anybody who was at that table about Cherry Road, which is only about 4 to 5 miles away from where we were hanging out.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, she's been walking back and forth past the bar, like, watching you. And I'm like, hell, 20s, 5'4", 5'5", blonde, very cute. I'm like, well, where's she at? Like, I want to meet this girl.
Right.
Like, hell, I'm single. And he goes, no, she's no longer with us, but she's watching you. All right. Well, that puts a depression on the evening.
Right.
So he's like, yeah. I'm like, well, where is she at now? He goes, oh, she walked back down back on the other side, which Jeff hadn't been to the bathroom or anything like that yet. But he goes, yeah, she walked through that corridor, walked through the door on the right-hand side, and is now standing by fire. Well, the women's bathroom backs up to, if you were to walk in the women's bathroom on the right-hand side, if you were to walk directly through the wall, you'd be standing by the main burners in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff wouldn't have known that. So that was the first, like, wow, seriously? The second wow, seriously, turned into holy shit, is he goes, yeah, I'm like, well, what's her name? And he goes, I'm getting some, like, Aubrey or Audrey, and she's saying that there's something more, after that. And he goes, no, it's not more, but it sounds like more. Well, he nailed the fact that her name was Audrey Moore. She was 5 foot. She was 5'4", blonde, thin, and she was a very attractive girl.
Yeah.
I never told him about anything of even that we went out to Cherry Road or anything about her name, anything about, like, there was no baiting at all.
Right.
And he nailed all of it.
Hmm. That's kind of cool.
I was extremely, extremely impressed. Jeff, you notice we got a caller?
Hold on. I did not. Oh.
You happen to notice that is Kirsten Thorne?
I don't know. Is this Kirsten?
No, this is your sick daddy host, Kevin.
No, it's Kirsten.
Yeah, no. That's what I think.
Jeff, I got a surgical prong for you that I'm gonna shove up your asshole.
Oh God. What is it?
Why the silence?
Well, I'm waiting for you to say what it is.
I told you, it's a prong.
Oh, a prong. I thought you said problem.
That's what I heard too.
You were hoping I said dong.
Go home, Kevin. No. You're drunk.
I'm not drunk. I'm just drugged up. Yeah, I'm calling you live from the hospital.
How was your colonoscopy?
It's okay. How was your sex change?
I don't do that.
Fabulous.
It wasn't a baby faggot. It was a damn appendicitis.
Yeah, but I called him and told him you needed a colonoscopy as well.
Oh. Well, they didn't do that.
I figured, well, I didn't expect that tomorrow because
yeah.
I told him, I said, as long as the car is in the shop, might as well get the other things repaired.
No, they did it. You were just out for it.
And Lord knows you've been a pain in my ass. So now you get to have a pain in yours.
Oh, was that it?
That's it.
Well, the one nurse wanted to stick a catheter in my penis last night at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's good.
Yeah, but.
At least they have you on. Tell us everything drugs right now.
Well, she told me I either had to pee in the cup or she was going to get catheter because I hadn't gone into the bathroom since my surgery. And when I tried to pee, it felt like the devil himself was in my penis. There was like flames coming out because they had to run a catheter while I was under anesthesia. So, yeah, I don't recommend anybody trying to pee after having a catheter. It hurts really bad.
Well, if you put the relation of the devil was in my penis, then, yeah, it pretty much solidifies nothing pleasant.
Yeah, it was bad. And then when she told me that I either had to fight through the burning or she was going to have to put a catheter in my penis again. So I bucked up and cried like a man as I peed flames at 2:30 this morning so that she wouldn't do that to me.
So, and for everybody, if you are still listening, and I apologize if you are, Kevin had surgery for a appendicitis, so
yeah,
that's why he is joining us stoned out of his mind, and
yeah,
more power to you. That's not a bad thing.
I can't complain about morphine.
Nope.
The more morphine, the better.
Morphine's awesome.
So the Paranormal Housewives didn't call in tonight. I'm going to have to get on there.
In their defense, I sent them a message like 10 minutes before the show.
Well, that's not good.
Now, being that I'm not on her friends list, the message may have gone right to her junk mail file.
Yeah, that's kind of why I told you about it yesterday, so you had time to get a hold of them.
Well, I would have, but in my defense, I didn't.
God.
And that's all the defense I need.
Hey, Jeff, I got something for you. Hang on.
What?
Hang on a second.
I knew you were going to do that.
You like that, Jeff?
I knew you were going to do that.
Well, okay. In both mine and Jeff's defense, Kevin, I want to bust you out right now.
I'm sorry.
But,
I'm
I know. This is from Kirsten. I never received any confirmation that we were definitely on tonight. We never received a call in time or topic, but I will see if I can round up the other ladies.
No, I got the message from her. I'm gonna have to bust some balls because I said, "How about June 8th?" And she said, "Yes, June 8th is great." I said, "Great, I'll put you down on the calendar."
Oh well, it happened.
So. So in my defense, I did have it booked. But I wasn't planning on being in the hospital, or I would have hit her up. I said I wasn't planning on being in the hospital, or I would have hit them up yesterday.
When we were trying to find Kirsten, we put the name in wrong and found a lady named Kirsten. She's pretty hot. Yeah, Kristen. I'm sorry. We found a lady named Kristen, and she's pretty hot.
Kristen A. Thorne has received friend requests from both Jeff and I.
Oh.
And have probably been denied as well.
We've been reported to Facebook.
I
don't know.
Maybe she posted something about that. Let me see.
Wow.
Nope.
So how'd the surgery go?
I guess it went okay. All I remember was looking at some Japanese or Chinese dude anesthesiologist, and he sets up to me, and that's the last I remember. And then an hour and a half later, I was in the recovery room.
That's the best, isn't it? That's the best is when they ask you to count backwards from 10. And then when you ask whoever else was in the room, they're like, "What'd you get to? 7?"
See,
I'd count
that guy didn't speak very good English, so I don't know if he was asking me to count backwards or what was going on.
Oh, that's just before he raped you.
Could have. Could have.
That procedure outlawed, you might need an ass transplant.
No, you're hoping for that, Jeff. But, I just decided to come up to the hospital yesterday.
You just decided to go to the hospital, like...
Hey, what the hell? Let's go to the hospital.
Hey, don't make fun of me that I'm drugged up.
Best time, brother. You do the same if it was me. You know that. You would do the exact same if it was me or Jeff or Dennis.
But I was having stomach problems, and I said, well, I better go up to the hospital because I took a dump, and the dump was black. So I thought I had blood. And I went up there, and they fairly farted around with me for a while, and they did a CAT scan and come back and said, "It's your appendix. We got to remove them today." I was like, "Oh, shit." So I have spent my entire weekend up here at the hospital.
That sounds pleasant. Well, I mean, you've been stoned for most of it, so I guess it can't be too bad.
Thank God Jeff's not been here, so that's good.
What?
You heard me.
No, I didn't hear you. That's why I said, what?
I said, thank God Jeff's not here.
Oh, I hope you're still in the hospital next weekend.
No, I'll be out.
You keep talking.
But I could put
like
you in
the
hospital.
No, you ain't gonna put nobody in the hospital. You keep talking like that, I'm gonna put you back in the hospital.
Hey, Jeff.
Oh.
Jeff and Kevin, we got another caller.
Oh, we do.
Yes, we do.
Hello.
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 Hi, this is Kirsten from the Paranormal Housewives. I'm just dropping in to say hello real quick and hoping to reschedule with you guys.
Yes, definitely. That's I'm Matt. I'm the one that you've been talking to. Kevin is our other gentleman caller who is stoned out of his mind right now after surgery. And
oh,
Jeff.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I hope you feel better soon.
Yeah, me too. I had my appendix taken out yesterday.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you're talking at all.
Well, he's not making much sense, but, I mean, even off the morphine, he doesn't really make that much sense either.
If you actually the fact that he's talking is not a surprise because he never shuts up anyway.
Oh, well, anyway, I'm impressed that you're able to talk and carry on a conversation. So what are you all talking about tonight?
We were talking about recorders, basically review equipment as far as headphones and stuff like that goes, and also discussing personal experiences with urban legends, if anybody had checked that out, and I've had some crazy, crazy stuff happen because of that.
Are you getting some interesting responses on the urban legends?
Yeah. The one that the founder, because I'm obviously CPR Matt on Facebook, the founder of CPR and I went to check out this urban legend and found way more truth behind it than what the actual urban legend that is. Pretty much every state nationwide has the same urban legend.
What is it? Oh, I hope you don't mind telling me. I came in late.
Yeah, no, it's real quick. It's Help Road, H-E-L-P. And pretty much what the urban legend is there was a couple back in like the 40s and 50s or whatever, driving a car back from prom or riding a motorcycle. There was a tragic accident in Lafayette, Shepherd. Somebody crawled up to the road and wrote help in their own blood. And then no matter how much they pave over it, that the help still shows up. So.
Wow, that's awesome. I had no idea about that.
It's kind of like the same thing as you hear if you park your car in front of train tracks, you put it in neutral and it gets pushed over the tracks and there's little kids' handprints on the back and, you know.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
It's one of those kind of urban legends. But what we found out is I have a 167-page police report of a woman that was murdered there, or murdered and her body was dumped there in a farmer's irrigation well, and we've gotten EVPs, had a whole bunch of stuff happen. The only thing, and all of us in Chicago with some of the best historians that I've ever come across, Ursa Bielski, Adam Selzer, we're all working together, and we have been on this. The one thing I need to do personally is I need to find where her resting place is, because the police report doesn't have that.
Yeah, that would be important to know, yeah.
I want to know where her resting place is. One, I want to do an EVP session by her actual grave, because I guess for the past 6.5 years, she's been following me around.
Oh, my God. Seriously? Is this from your EVPs?
That and from friends who have abilities, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
That I've never mentioned to them at all that I've done this, but they see her around me and they describe her physically to a T. Oh, Jeff, when we were talking about earlier, the one thing I didn't tell you is the other thing that Jeff had started saying about Audrey is that the placement and what her tattoos were, which are only in the police report or people who knew her.
Oh, nice.
Wow. I mean, how does that make you feel, though? I mean, are you a little concerned that she's hanging on?
No, it doesn't bother me. I mean, from what everybody says is she's not always around me. She just checks in from time to time to make sure that I'm okay because I'm the first person to ever care or look for her.
Right. So it's almost like she's your guardian angel.
That's kind of what people describe it as. If in fact, they said she's not going to harm you in any way. I'm like, yeah, but I also don't want her there if I'm in the shower. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you can't control when people show up.
Yeah, and they said that I was talking. Dennis, who I host the show with on Wednesdays, is a very, very powerful and accurate remote reader.
Mm-hmm.
So he's checked in on, if something happens and I'm starting to feel something about Audrey, I'll call him and he'll pop in and kind of let me know what's going on that side.
Yeah.
The only and Kevin, you know this too, from a bunch of trial and error, I trust Dennis. A lot of the people who are quote unquote, celebrities, if you will, in the paranormal field. But they look at Dennis as one of the, as very, very highly respected and very, very powerful in what he can do.
Right.
So,
but you know, it's a little bit, I've always been nervous about a spirit hanging out with me when I don't know that he or she is there. It's almost like I don't have any control over the situation and I can't control when they show up or when they leave. And it does make you a little bit, almost like your privacy is being invaded.
Yeah, but it's an everyday thing though. Like the one movie that I love is Ghost Town with Ricky Gervais.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's a parody basically. It's a comedy to where he has an event that happens in his life and he can see and talk to ghosts from that point on.
Right.
And it's a very accurate depiction of what all of us talk about and what psychics talk about, to where his light is completely turned up and he has to figure out, like, he's to the point where he doesn't know who's real and who's a spirit. Like, that's how clear he can see him.
Right. That would terrify me.
It's funny, like, you know, they showed a camera angle of him walking down the street and he's talking to himself, but he thinks he's talking to somebody.
Right.
Every time that he has a physical encounter with a spirit, he sneezes.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
So it gets to the point to where, like, the word gets out in the afterlife that he can see and talk to talk to spirits, and they want to get their name out. So he's just walking on the street, and it's every step that he takes, he's sneezing because there's all these spirits crowding around him.
Oh my gosh, I gotta see that movie.
It's hysterical, and it's actually it's funny even if you're not in the paranormal community, but being in the paranormal community, it makes it even funnier.
Right.
The one thing that I do love about it is the accuracy of it. If you think of throughout history, throughout the area that you live in, you drive past a graveyard or cemetery, whatever you want to call it, every person or every headstone that you see was a person that inhabited there or that surrounding area within cities or whatever. Well, think of how many cemeteries are in the world.
Right.
And think of how many people that there have been. I mean, we're at 6.6 billion people on the planet right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got a lot more spirits than you do living people.
So who's to say that within, you know, if you live in a highly populated area, who's to say that if, in fact, say 10% of them even, or 5% didn't pass on?
Right.
That's still millions of people.
No, that's true. That's true. But, I mean, do you ever wonder, like, why they would be still hanging out on Earth? You know, why haven't they moved on? Why aren't they somewhere else at this point?
You know what, we've had that kind of, I had a lot of that conversation between a bunch of us, and especially if I go to like an event and
mm-hmm.
there's people that I talk to on a normal, everyday basis. Like the guys from Ghost Hunters, I was talking to them about it. I was talking to Bill Bean, was talking to just a bunch of people, and I always ask this question. Why do you think they're still here?
Yeah.
And,
well, I have my own theory about that, but everybody does, yeah.
Oh, what's your theory, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, you know, all right, this is the way I look at it, and I get this from having done a lot of study into world religions as well, but almost uh-huh. every major religion sees the human beings as having a soul and a spirit. So I believe that the soul is what continues on eternally, and the spirit is what can come back. So in a sense, it's like one person is a divided being. Part of that person continues on eternally, and part of that person has free will. So in a sense, the people that you're seeing, the spirits that come to visit or to drop in or to communicate, are not an entirely complete human. So part of them, I believe, has split off from the soul. And that, what I find so interesting about that, and if anybody's curious and they want to do a little more research on that, Peter Novak wrote an amazing, amazing book on that phenomenon. And I can't, off the top of my head, can't remember the name of it, but I'll put it up on the Paranormal Housewives page if anyone wants to check it out, because it parallels all the major religions' teachings. So I don't think we're actually communicating with an entirely whole human being. I think it's only a fragment of that person.
Well, and with that theory, that would explain a lot of why, there hasn't been a whole story told through an EVP or...
Mm-hmm.
It's,
yeah,
because
you're
spectral.
Not, you're only getting part of this. This is only a part, this is only one aspect of the person. And they are... they're not whole. They cannot put together a coherent story of what happened.
Yeah.
So it's a theory. It's a theory. But it explains a lot. They talk about in this book. They talk about how spirit is what is able to reincarnate, what is able to visit the earth plane, what is able to kind of come and go between levels or dimensions. But it's not the eternal part of you. It's not the part that continues on forever. So, for me, it explains a lot. It explains the nonsensical nature of some of the communications we get. It explains the fragmentary nature of the investigations we go on. And like you said, it explains why you never get a whole story. You only get part of it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the problem is, too, is when... it's the individuals who are receiving that information of how they put that story together
mm-hmm.
to make it a whole, because it becomes
right.
interpretive at that point.
Right, because we're always trying to make sense out of what we don't understand.
Yeah, and the way the human brain works, so like my background's in psychology, the way the human brain works is you take fragments of information and you piece it together the way that it makes sense to you.
Yeah, yeah. That's true, and I it may not have anything to do with what actually happened.
Exactly. So it's so, when it comes to the human brain, it's so, everything is so subjective.
Yeah. And it makes paranormal investigations really frustrating.
Yeah, but it also makes them really damn fun, depending how you look at it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on the mood you're in. Sometimes I go out and I would just like to know the answer. I would just want to know what happened. And, you know, very rarely are we allowed to figure out what happened.
Yeah, and a lot of it, like today, and I was talking about earlier, I was walking around. I'm out of the Chicago area, so my dear friend Ursula Bielski and Michael Esposito, I was with them, and we were walking around Bachelor's Grove Cemetery all day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually very, very busy. There was a lot of people there. A lot of people just, walking around and checking out. And so we'd stop and ask them. And a lot of people, people who aren't into the paranormal, but they've heard stories, so, hey, let's go check it out. Ursula, who was on Paranormal Challenge, she's been on Ghost Hunters, she's been, written a bunch of books, like stuff like that. In our community, she's very, very well known.
Mm-hmm.
But to the general public, not so much. So it's so cool when we go out and we'll stop and stop people and just ask them, a couple of questions like, what are your stories? What's, this, that, and the other thing? Well, Ursula has 3 masters in history.
Mm-hmm.
She knows every person's history that's buried in Bachelor's Grove that's documented. So what have you heard about the place? What have you heard? Oh, well, we came out for the Tillman site. Well, Tillman site is such a massive plot that they couldn't knock over the stone. Like all the rest, literally all the rest of the stones in Bachelor's Grove have been kicked over.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah.
But the Tillman site is it's such a massive piece of granite. Yeah, you're not knocking that thing over unless you have heavy equipment.
Right. Yeah.
So the father and the and all it says on the headstone, because it's like 1833 to 1906, 1897 to 1933, are the 2 headstones that still stand. And it's father and infant, and it's like those have never been touched. But
wow.
The other 4 that are around it have been desecrated.
Yeah, I never understand why people do things like that. It doesn't make sense to me.
And actually, if you look on my Facebook page, too, I posted some photos from when, you walk around Robbio Woods and Bachelor's Grove Woods and Robinson Woods and all the surrounding area. There's a lot of places that people don't go. But the photos that I took were of still the dark stuff that that current living human beings are doing, like swastikas,
yeah,
and KKK and, all that still happens there. There's still that energy that's being, basically projected onto that environment.
Right. I don't understand. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think that a lot of the negativity we encounter is from the living more than the dead. And it's sad to see what people will do. I don't know if it's out of curiosity or if it's out of just a general desire to destroy things.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a feeling of empowerment to, like somebody kicking over a headstone. Did you conquer that person? Did you dominate that person? And
I mean, that's a question for you as the psychologist. I have no idea. I don't understand what it is about cemeteries that some people feel the need to desecrate, destroy, kick over headstones. I mean, what are they getting from that experience? I guess because no one can fight back. I don't know.
As the psychologist answer, it becomes more of a domination kind of complex to where they feel that they have control over that person because they can't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they have some control over death itself.
But the other flip side of that is they don't know what the hell that they're actually getting themselves into, because if it is a rogue spirit that's still on this earth, why... Yeah, you may have something that ends up at your house that you initially didn't want there.
I think some people actually invite that in. I think they like the idea that it's almost like they want to challenge the spirit world, or they're looking for some kind of paranormal fight. It's just, I don't understand it. It's the same thing I've seen in historic sites where people have gone in and they've put up satanic symbols. And, I mean, that's the one thing that makes paranormal investigation for me a little bit difficult is what people do to the sites that we all hold so dear and that we think are so important. But, you know, I understand the dead better than the living.
Yeah. I actually wish that the living were a little more like the dead sometimes.
Me too.
That they're dead?
No, not that they're dead. I don't wish that on anybody, but I mean, you know, just in general, like it seems like there's a little more properness and respect in the deceased than there is in the living.
Oh, I'm sure. I absolutely believe that. I think that once you've passed over to the other side, if you have changed, you've undergone a transformation, and hopefully it's for the better. But you know, we'll all find that out soon enough.
Hopefully later than sooner, but
yeah.
We're down the last few minutes here. So, Kirsten, is anything you especially want to promote in the last couple of minutes?
Well, I mean, I just wanted to say to everybody, we would love to come back on the show, all four of us. We're a very interesting group of women. We do really odd and interesting investigations. So we'd love the chance to come back and give you our different viewpoints on what we do. We're one of the very few all-female groups out there. We've been together for 4 years, which is kind of a world's record for the paranormal sometimes.
Yeah.
But we get along great. We still love each other after 4 years of investigations. I don't just, you know, would love to be able to come back and talk to everybody. Thanks a lot for inviting us, and check out our Facebook page. We're Paranormal Housewives on Facebook and ParanormalHousewives.com. So, yeah, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, no, you're definitely more than welcome. And like I was messaging you earlier in the scheduling confusion, as of right now, I do still have Wednesday open, same time, 8 to 10, same network. So,
okay,
yeah,
well, let's get together and figure it out. If you can send me the open date, I'll send it to the girls, and we'll see what we can work out.
Yeah, it's this Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're willing, if you guys can do it, I'll send you the information as soon as we get off the phone. But yeah, that's still open. Or yeah, get with Kevin or myself or Jeff for Sundays.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Sundays are usually really good. And, you know, I would just love the chance for you guys to hear about, I like the conversations about the theoretical issues, you know,
mm-hmm.
And with your psychology background, it would be really interesting to continue this conversation.
Oh yeah. I'd definitely love to. It's so far, I mean, what, we've been talking for 26 minutes or something like that since you called in, and it's been, well, since you called in.
It's gone by fast.
Yeah. It's gone by fast, and it still leaves me intrigued as hell. So.
Oh yeah, have barely even started to talk to you about all this. So yeah, we gotta pick it up.
I'll tell you, 2 hours is gonna go by real fast too.
Yeah, no, it does. This is my favorite topic. So.
But, yeah, I definitely appreciate it. You taking the time and calling in. Yeah, we'll have to. We'll get together and figure something out, because definitely love to finish this conversation. Jeff, you want to throw anything out there in the last couple of minutes?
No, not really. I'm on vacation, so I'll put that out there.
Man of many words. So.
All right, you guys, and I'll sign off then. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Same with you, and yeah, we'll definitely have you back on very, very soon. Hopefully Wednesday, if you all can work it out.
All right, I will check it out for and let you know.
Good night. Nice talking with you.
Okay, bye bye.
Cool.
All right, so that was Sunday's URN radio show. I am CPR Matt. Jeff?
Jeff?
I don't know what the hell you go by normally.
Paranormal sex symbol. That's me.
There we go. Dio's CPR Matt, the paranormal sex symbol, and the paranormal parentheses anal raped outlaw.
Yes. New nickname is earned.
So tune in next Sunday and find out how his colonoscopy went once he finally admits it in his ophthalmorph. That is prescribed by Jeff and I. We have been in talk with the doctors, and they're going to be running
who
a whole bunch
hell
of...
you guys think you...
Oh, my bad. I pushed the play button too soon. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
So, yes, we are prescribed for Kevin a whole bunch of rectal and nether regions tests that are going to be happening before he leaves the hospital.
Yes.
And the best part about it is he's on morphine, so he's going to be paying for him. But
awesome.
Anyway, Jeff, man, I think it was a great show. I'm glad that Kevin's doing good. I know we were poking a lot of fun at him, but, you know, sure as shit, he'd do the same thing to us, too.
Yes, he does.
So, we love him, and hopefully he gets a fast and speedy recovery. Other than that, we're here. Oh, wait, we got shows on 7 days a week again, don't we?
Yes, we do. Don't ask me what they are, because I don't keep up with that. All right, just being honest.
The Sunday-only kind of guy. But, yes, the throughout the week, keep tuning back in. Got a bunch of programming. Myself, personally, runs Full Spectrum Radio on Wednesday nights, same time, same place. So check us out there with Dennis and I. Other than that, if going down the last couple minutes, if you want to go ahead and play us out, we'll be all good.
Good night, everybody.
Who the hell you guys think you are? Rock stars or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
sleep.